The first sign that perimenopause had given Tony Quaid superpowers was not the fire. It was the fact that the fire had excellent aim. One moment she was crouched behind an artificial ficus in the lobby of the Monarch Hotel, photographing a man who had collected $83,000 in disability payments for a spinal injury. The next, a blue flame flickered beneath the center hook of her bra. Tony slapped both hands over her chest. The flame went out. She waited, palms pressed to her blouse, while her body tried to decide whether it had finished humiliating her. Across the lobby, Gordon Bellows dipped a woman in a silver dress until her hair brushed the carpet. According to the paperwork on Tony's desk, Gordon could not bend, lift, twist, or stand longer than 6 minutes without severe pain. Apparently, pelvic thrusting belonged to a separate branch of medicine. Tony raised her phone and took 3 photographs. She had been a private investigator for 7 years, which was long enough to know that useful evidence rarely arrived under flattering lighting. It came in rain, sleet, parking garages, motel hallways, and once through the window of a nail salon while a city councilman purchased stolen catalytic converters. A burning underwire was inconvenient, but it did not excuse poor documentation. The heat returned before she could lower the phone. It began behind her ribs and rolled upward, spreading across her chest, throat, scalp, and face, until she felt as though someone had sealed her inside a commercial dishwasher. Sweat gathered beneath her hair. Her pulse stumbled, recovered, and began pounding too hard. "Not now," she whispered. Her body had been doing this for 6 months. Hot flashes, night sweats, periods that arrived 3 weeks early or 2 months late, apparently guided by a dartboard. She had forgotten familiar words, cried over a dog food commercial, and threatened a printer with bodily harm after it displayed paper jam while containing no paper at all. Her doctor had called it perimenopause. Tony called it biological vandalism. A plastic leaf beside her shoulder began to smoke. She stared at it. No. A small blue flame appeared along the edge. Tony pinched it between her fingers. The flame vanished without burning her skin. 2 more appeared higher in the plant, then another near the fake trunk. She removed her cardigan and beat at them. The cardigan was cashmere, purchased during her marriage when she had still believed that buying something at 60% off counted as saving money. The plant flared brighter. Across the lobby, Gordon lifted his partner completely off the floor. Tony took another picture. If she survived the evening, the insurance company was getting a slideshow. A man near the bar lowered his newspaper. He had been sitting there when Tony arrived 40 minutes earlier, drinking club soda and pretending to read the financial section. No one read a folded newspaper in a hotel lobby anymore unless he was over 70 or conducting surveillance. He was not over 70. He wore a dark suit without a tie, and silver threaded the brown hair at his temples. A pale scar crossed the point of his chin. He was tall without seeming pleased about it, solidly built, and watchful in a way Tony recognized from military intelligence offices and courthouse hallways. He had the stillness of a man accustomed to waiting for other people to make mistakes. His gaze moved from the smoking ficus to Tony. She gave him the tight smile women use when they do not wish to discuss why their shrub is combusting. He folded the newspaper. The heat inside her surged. The brass planter gave a low metallic groan. Tony looked down. The rim had begun to soften. It folded inward slowly, as if the metal had grown tired of holding its shape. Her doctor had warned her about insomnia, mood changes, joint pain, anxiety, and vaginal atrophy, a phrase Tony believed should never be spoken before lunch. She had not mentioned liquefying hotel fixtures. A young employee in a burgundy vest noticed the smoke and hurried toward her.
Ma'am?
I have it under control. This was untrue, but a confident tone had carried Tony through army briefings, school conferences, divorce mediation, and most interactions with cable companies. The employee drew closer. The ficus exploded. A compact ball of blue fire shot across the lobby, passed between two crystal chandeliers, and struck Gordon Bellows directly in the crotch. His white trousers ignited. Gordon screamed. His dance partner screamed. Someone near the reception desk shouted for him to stop, drop, and roll. He obeyed with startling athleticism. Tony lifted her phone and recorded him as he dropped to the marble and rolled from one end of the dance floor to the other. Two hotel employees rushed in with fire extinguishers. Foam covered his trousers, shoes, and most of a nearby ottoman. The woman in silver stepped away from him.
You said you couldn't twist.
I'm in shock,
Gordon shouted from the floor.
You did the tango for 40 minutes.
It was therapeutic.
The man from the bar appeared beside Tony so quietly that she did not hear him approach.